Well, happy Palm Sunday. That's at least worth a wave, don't you think? Come on, wave those palms. We're quite pathetic, really. No offense. But when you think about parades, what we do in the church is a little sad. But that's okay, because we know what parades are like. Big parades, amazing parades, things that people really get into. I think of Canada Day, growing up in a small town in Western Quebec. We were all of Canada, because we weren't going to separate. And so our Canada Day parades were amazing. The whole town was there, and everyone was involved, and it was a great, great celebration. Well, I want you to imagine the most amazing parade and procession that you can think of. Maybe you've seen Macy's Day for Christmas. Maybe you've been who knows where, and you can think of an amazing parade. Take that and ramp it up a notch. And you have the parade, the procession that was coming into the West Gate of Jerusalem on this day several thousand years ago. And it wasn't Jesus. It was Pontius Pilate. It was the beginning of Passover. And into the city came the governor of all the land, riding on majestic horses with all of his entourage around him, coming triumphant into the west gate of the city of Jerusalem. And most of the city would have been there. Certainly all of the important people were there to show obedience to him, to be there to celebrate the beginning of Passover. Everything that one can think of associated with pomp, splendor, power, money, and glory happened at that parade, that procession. Meanwhile, at the East Gate, there was a small procession forming around a colt, or in some Gospels, of course, a donkey, depends how you read it. But think of the most humble possible procession of a man somewhat scuffy with dirty feet wearing sandals and a band of a few sort of retrobates with him. They had found a colt, he had planned the procession, and there they were coming in the east gate of the city of Jerusalem. Everything you can think of around down to earth, poor, one of us, and no splendor, no glory, was this second procession. And that, of course, is the one we celebrate today. So maybe we're not so wimpy after all with our procession. Maybe what we just did is a lot closer to what actually happened. But when you think about what goes on outside these walls and the procession of people going for coffee and brunch on Elgin Street, and people caring about their Sunday business, that one says more about our society and our wealth than the one we just had here. And that is exactly what happened that Palm Sunday. It set them up for the conflict and the clash that would happen later in the week that would end in Jesus' death. We often think that we're powerless. And I remember last year at Ashbury talking to the students and asking them, what impact do you think you're going to have on the world? Some of them would say, I will be the prime minister of insert a country. I will be the CEO of. And yes, they probably will be. But most of them were like the rest of us who thought, I'm not that important. Because teenagers, if anything, feel that more keenly often than we do. I'm just one small person, my voice doesn't really matter, and I just try and fit in. And that's the way we are, isn't it? And we often feel like we can't have a lot of impact, we can't do much all on our own. We're not that worthy, we're not like Pontius Pilate, and maybe we're not even like Jesus. But we can have huge impact. Because think of when you drop one drop of water into a flat surface of water. We all know what happens. That one drop can become a huge ripple that can go out and affect everything. The rocks on the shore, the trees, you never know, because that one drop can grow the larger, farther and farther that it goes. And I often think that the drops of tears that Mary and others shed on Good Friday are what have brought us to today. They have sustained us, they have rippled, and they have brought all of us here. Yes, you might say you're here because you sing in the choir and you like music, or you're here because your parents brought you and you don't know what else to do on a Sunday morning, or you're here because you're on your way to brunch, or you're here because you have a faith and need to have it nourished so that you can take it out again. But it doesn't really matter. That one drop, those teardrops, those drops of blood, that life has rippled out and touched each one of us to bring us here and elsewhere in our world. One of our Canadian artists, Danny Michel, sings a song, "Who's Gonna Miss You?" And it's quite catchy, and when I get into my head, I can't get it out, but as you know, I'm not gonna sing it for you. But he has some really good lyrics. He says, "You can climb a mountain, you can swim the sea, or find a cure to some disease, or break every record in the book you see. You can carve a statue and stand it tall and hang your painting on a wall, press your hands in wet cement. You can come in first, be the best, win the lotto, ace the test. You can line up all them awards in a row. You can write a hit and be a star, ride around in a big long car, and everybody reaching to touch your hand. But who's gonna miss you when you're gone? Did you live it right? Did you live it wrong? Who's gonna miss you when you're gone?" That's a question for us. You may remember that Pontius Pilate, the only reason we probably remember him at all is that he sent Jesus to his death. So the man that came in the greatest pomp and circumstance went out washing his hands. The man who came in the least, on an ass, on a colt, on a donkey, whatever he rode, went out on a cross, and much more than that. So what impact will we have? Who's going to miss us when we're gone? And maybe more importantly, why? Why will you be missed? Why will I be missed? Why? What is it about us that we will leave as an impact on this world? Your palm branches today, I know normally you might get one little tiny bit of palm, is that right? But today you have more than one, I hope. You have a couple of pieces stuck together. So you should look at your palm branch right now, if you've got it nearby. And it's probably joined to another piece. Am I correct? Most of you, anyway. If you don't have one like that, you might want to get one afterwards. We've got lots. So the thing about palm branches is that when we are given one little piece that we fold and make into a cross like this, we often think that that's what our life is like. It's one little piece. And when I grew up, the churches that I've always been at until this one, we were given the folded up crosses that were already made. So I had never really seen as many palm branches as I did yesterday when we came to put them about the church and to separate them so you could take them with you. Now, the thing about the palms is that you need to remember that they don't grow like that. They grow like this. So the little sections that you have come from plants like this. And you will note that every one of them is attached to another. So, Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem by himself. He had friends with him. He didn't die alone on the cross by himself. He had friends with him. And he certainly didn't rise and have nobody notice. Because we're still noticing. And he didn't do it alone, and neither do we. So as you go off this Palm Sunday and enter into Holy Week, the most amazing week of our Christian year, remember that you're just one of these palms attached to all the others. And you're not just that, because we're going to be missed when we're gone. But just remember why, and just remember that we're in a community that is much bigger than ourselves, that may look insignificant, but it is great in terms of bringing people life and joy and hope, and each one of us can be missed for that. Happy Holy Week.